The Smart Money says it should be a perfect storm for bookstores in America. One of the biggest chains is dead, Borders. Profits are down in the publishing industry, and online retailers like Amazon are cutting out the middleman for customers with crushing accuracy. But some independent bookstores have a plan to survive the storm, and it starts on a bus heading down a St. Louis highway.
Bookstore House Trivia. Founded in 1986 by Michelle Barron, celebrating their 25th...
It's an all-day bookstore cruise. The tour treats St. Louis's bookstores like the kind of landmarks that draw crowds in New York and San Francisco. And for some book fans, they are. Jenny Garlick and Jill Norath's good timing and social media savvy got them on the bus.
Well, we won free tickets from the St. Louis Independent Bookstore Alliance on Facebook.
As part of a promotion on the site, the Alliance offered two tickets to the first person to respond to a post. Jenny actually missed being first by a few seconds, but when the winner had to drop out, she got a second chance and immediately called Jill.
We're in a book club together, and we are kind of like book best friends, so when we won the free ticket, Jill was the person that I decided to ask.
I was actually really excited. I wanted to go on the one in May that sold out and didn't buy a ticket in time.
It's the second cruise organized by the Alliance, and the timing couldn't be better. Just a few months ago, stores like Left Bank Books in the Central West End or Pudd'nhead Books in Webster Groves were competing with Borders, who could offer better prices on some bestsellers. Now Borders is gone, but they're still here. It was a close one. At the beginning of the year, Kelly Von Plonsky of Subterranean Books on the Delmar Loop saw business slowing dangerously and was almost forced to make the most painful decision a small business owner could make.
Well, this past January, we had a really, really difficult January. And so I sent out an announcement to our email list saying, you know, we're going to give ourselves X number of months to turn things around. And if they don't turn around, then we're going to close.
The email went viral in St. Louis's book community.
A couple of the stores in town saw it and immediately came to me, you know, concerned. And that was Nikki at Pudd'nhead Books and Jay at Left Bank Books.
And as soon as she put the word out for that, I asked her to go get a drink and sort of wanted to see what was going on.
That's Pudd'nhead Books owner Nikki Fuhrer.
It's not good for me to have another bookstore go out of business. And it's just, I wanted to see if there was anything I could do to help.
This is Jay. Give him a nice round of applause.
That's when Left Bank Books owner Jay Steele comes into the picture.
Now our first cruise featured different stores, and this cruise, I think, has a quirky, really cool, kind of interesting
flavor
to it.
Today he's the Alliance president, addressing store owners, authors, and cruisegoers after the day's lunch. But back then, there was no Alliance, no cruise, just a few friendly booksellers.
So we thought, well, why don't we pool our efforts? And we met for dinner at Pi that one evening that month, and started to drink and talk and exchange stories. And
at that first dinner that we all met and talked about stuff, everybody brought a little bit to the table of things we wanted to, the website of everybody's events all together.
And really discovered that we had more in common than we did to compete. And of course we are competitors, but it's not a zero-sum game.
I don't know if we got to events that night or not, but pretty quickly we knew we had to sort of do things to raise our profile and have people notice us.
And from there, the idea bloomed to actually do this in an ongoing, sustained way and to invite all of the bookstores in the St. Louis area, because there were a lot more than we thought there were, actually.
It was very exciting. For me, it was, you know, sort of state of ambivalence, because that was right when I had no idea whether we would still exist or not.
You might expect competitors would be hesitant about banding together, but the Alliance jumped right in, and Fuhrer says her customers loved it.
The reactions went well. People thought it was neat. We have a lot of people that we didn't want to make people feel like they had to choose one independent that they shop at. We didn't want to make people feel guilty for going to Subterranean or coming to us or anything else. So I think for them to see us, you know, as an alliance and all together working to help each other sort of alleviated that guilt.
Subterranean, Left Bank, and Pudd'nhead have the same needs as any small business, but it doesn't stop there. Because Subterranean stocks only new books and prides itself on a well-curated selection, it faces totally different realities from a used bookstore where shelves are filled with donations from addicts and customers browse in the hopes of finding quirky titles for only a few dollars. Example, Michelle Barron owns The Bookhouse in suburban St. Louis, one of the stops on today's bookstore tour, but she sees her job a little differently. She says used bookstores don't have to worry about threats like e-readers.
You can't put a Kindle in a closet for 30 years and then your grandson finds it and rediscovers it. You can't do that. It's, you know, but you can do that with book collections.
And she says the low profit margins at used bookstores can actually have an advantage. You don't get hungry for money. Chain stores used to order massive quantities of books, one of the extravagances that doomed Borders. Now many of these books are languishing in storage, sold online for a penny, or even burned.
I think that was Borders and Barnes & Noble's big problem. They tried to make it a big money-making enterprise, and even though bookstores have been around for 500 years, nobody's gotten rich as a bookstore owner. I mean, people don't go into this to make $1 million. There's actually a quote about this. If you want to make $1 million as a bookstore owner, start with $2 million. So that's the, and that was from the 19th century.
The Alliance has to meet the needs of both new and used stores. Even though they use different business models, both are wholeheartedly dedicated to reaching readers. Alliance Vice President Wendy Drew is the owner of Rose's Bookhouse in O'Fallon, Missouri. She says as the Alliance grew, there was more interest in helping used stores, too.
We all decided that Ujay would be president, and then I would be vice president, secretary of the Alliance. As a store that's both new and used and not a founding member, we thought that that would be a good combination so that everyone's needs were met, just not the founding members, but that all of the Alliance members' needs were met.
Rose's has primarily been a used store, but since the nearby Borders closed, more customers have been coming in requesting new books. Drew says Rose's is ordering more new books every day. Subterranean is in what may be a tougher position. With next to no used books, it's still competing with Barnes & Noble, who recently bought the Borders domain name and now redirects web traffic to its site. But Von Plonsky is more concerned about another online retailer.
I can unequivocally say I have complete and utter hatred for Amazon. They use books as loss leaders to sell, I don't know, sleds and shovels or whatever. They're just not important to them.
While some used bookstores benefit from online retailers, distaste for Amazon runs high among many booksellers. The company has drawn fire lately for what some call a loophole that allows it to avoid collecting sales tax on products sold in Missouri and many other states.
Our competition is in effect being subsidized by not having to collect and charge sales tax.
That's American Booksellers Association President Orrin Tyker. The organization represents independent bookstores across the country and advocates for causes, including sales tax reform.
We think that everybody ought to collect and charge sales tax. That's the fair and equitable way to do it. So certainly the competitive disadvantage that we operate under has, in fact, had a real negative impact on our sales.
Avoiding sales tax charges can drive a customer away from a bookstore and online. Von Plonsky isn't happy she has to turn over money online retailers get to keep.
I mean, especially in the area that I am, I'm in a fairly high-tax area. It gives Amazon an automatic 10% advantage, and they milk that. You know, they market to that.
She says she thinks Amazon is skirting the law, at least in Missouri.
They're dodging. You know, Missouri law states that if there is a presence in Missouri, which all of their affiliates do amount to presence, then they should be collecting sales tax.
Amazon declined a phone interview for this story, but a spokesperson told me by email the company has no sales presence in Missouri. Amazon doesn't have warehouses in the state, and technically its affiliates, who host websites directing users to Amazon and get a commission for sales, aren't sales agents. Critics call that a loophole, one they say presents a missed opportunity for the state's economy. A 2009 University of Tennessee study estimated Missouri could add around $200 million per year in revenue if it charged online retailers sales tax. Von Plonsky says that's not the only harm.
It's an impediment, and it's all it does is hurt all the local businesses who do really strive to help our communities.
Do you think it's illegal?
Yes. Yes, in Missouri it is. It's in the laws that if you have a presence here, you are to collect sales tax, and they are not. So if I just quit collecting sales tax because I decided, oh, my presence here doesn't count, they'd come after me. So I don't understand why they're not going after, why they're not enforcing it with Amazon.
But several states, most recently California, have already enacted laws requiring online retailers to charge sales tax. A proposal introduced this week by Senator Lamar Alexander, a Republican from Tennessee, could put federal standards in place for online retailers nationwide. And in Missouri, a Democratic state representative from St. Louis tried to pass a similar bill earlier this year. Representative Rory Ellinger says laws already on the book technically require online retailers to pay sales tax. He says his bill would have just enforced that.
Let's at least collect a tax that's already in place.
Ellinger describes himself as a book lover who frequents St. Louis bookstores, including Subterranean, where I spoke with him. He says he introduced the legislation because stores serving the community are hurt when online retailers take advantage of the loophole.
And that's an unfair advantage to what I call the brick and mortars, local, usually small owners. These are not wealthy people. They're people who want to make a living for their family. But they're not Wall Street, that's for sure. This is Del Mar Street. It's not Wall Street.
He says shopping locally is a good way to stimulate the economy and strengthen community, and most tourists on the book cruise would agree.
My daughter belongs to the slow food movement. This is like the slow book movement.
Jeanette Elroy is grabbing refreshments from a tent set up outside Rosa's Bookhouse, the last stop on the tour.
It's been goodie bags and super friendly owners and really good service, good selection, and just finding out about these places.
Elroy is an indie bookstore loyalist, but she's never seen anything like this. She prefers Subterranean, but she's been impressed by every store on the cruise's four stops.
What bowls me over about all these shops is the amount of customer service. And as the guy said at lunch, you just don't get that from Amazon.com.
And you will not see Amazon doing this. So support your independent store.
In his speech, Jay Steele says Amazon also couldn't give book lovers a chance to mingle with local authors and authors a chance to promote their books in person. That's a bookstore like Rose's specialty.
Need any help finding anything? I've got some minions. There's a tall gentleman in the back. His name is Marty. He's a minion.
After Rose's owner, Wendy Drew, wraps up introductions, a table of authors, including sci-fi novelist J.C. Hay from Columbia, sign books and chat with cruisegoers. Hay says he likes the personal touch.
I think that it's almost the most important thing to have these events that bring awareness in. And the small bookstores, the independent bookstores, the not box stores, give the author and give the owners a chance to really reach out to customers and connect with them on a personal level, give them a chance to try something they might not normally try because they're being exposed to it by somebody who they trust. They have a personal relationship with the seller.
And he's impressed by the draw, too.
Wendy, Rose's, the owner at Rose's, does a really good job of promoting at her store, so we usually get a really good turnout. The last signing I did for them had a great turnout. We had a lot of really positive response.
The cruise is one of the Alliance's flagship events, but others, like a night of literary speed dating in which couples were paired off to talk about their favorite books, have drawn big crowds, too. The Alliance says it's planning more events for the future, and even though they've grown from an original 4 bookstores to 12, Alliance members say they'd love to welcome even more into the fold. Despite all the factors at work against them, St. Louis's independent bookstores may have found a safe harbor in the storm. Davis Donovan, KBIA News.